You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Good morning. If you've just after joining us, it was an interesting first hour. Join us tomorrow at 9, if you don't mind. But if it doesn't suit you, don't forget the podcast is live for you after 12:30, where you can listen back to all 3 hours on our website, highlandradio.com. Lots of you texting in. It's going to be a bit of a sporting feel to the last hour of the show. Brendan Devaney is going to be in. We'll reflect on the GEA action. Look forward to the quarterfinals. And also, whilst there was good news for Donegal men, disappointing result for Donegal ladies yesterday. We'll cover all of it, of course. And then we'll hopefully, all things being equal, I'm pretty confident, have the winners of the Donegal International Rally in with us as well. Greg, can you find out who is going to repair the road that has been destroyed by rally cars at Nacala Coast Road and other roads that have been scorched, etc., by so-called rally drivers? Visitors to the area are not aware of this type of damage. I notice a section of wall too. I'm not sure if it's connected to the rally at Loch Salt's been tossed as well. Greg, I have a question. Is there not a noise pollution law after 11 p.m. or something? I live in Gortley, and my God, the noise from cars until 4 or 5 a.m. every night over the weekend was beyond ridiculous. Revving, exhaust, backfire was horrendous. The Garda had to have heard it. We couldn't sleep here because of it. God help anyone who lived right beside where they were doing it. I noticed over the weekend a lot of people coming to the rally appear to have been scammed and getting accommodation. Is there anything that can be done about it? No, but if we can hear the stories, it might help us to pursue it. I'm not saying, sorry, I said no, of course. But if we hear some of those stories, we can certainly dig a bit deeper there. The rally claims 21 million comes to Donegal in the economy. As a small business owner, it was the worst weekend in business for me. I ended up closing early, as did many others. I've spoken to other business owners who all agree with me. There is a lot of money in 21 million. Someone tell me who earns it, because it's not small business owners. There's a lot of deli food and petrol in the 21 million. I would say that, and a lot of booze as well, for sure. It's hard to know what the impact of it might be or where that it's divvied up. I was in hospital. Sorry, I'll come back to that. No, actually, I wanted to stick with health, so we'll do that. I was in hospital from last Sunday to Friday, and I received the best of care and attention. I was never in hospital before, and I have to say it was a good experience. Thanks to all the staff. That comes from Hugh Boner. Hugh, I hope you're out now and doing well. Hi, Greg. I know someone away to Dublin today to see a consultant. This person has cancer. Will we ever have the services in Donegal to treat cancer? That comes in from Tony. Tony, I don't know. But from speaking to people high up in the HSE, they don't seem to really be too keen on providing those services to us here. In other words, the working theory seems to be that if you want the best of care, you have to travel for it for certain types of treatment. Large round bale in the middle of the road on the turn at Bradley Shop in Listillion. If you're on the road, be careful. It's there, I'm told. There are signal stones on top of many Donegal hills. What's that guy's name? Equinox is as important as solstice. His name's Brendan. He used to work at ATU from Fermanagh originally. We can try and get more contact details if there's a specific reason for you. Good morning, Greg. My father, Brendan, has MS for the last 22 years. He attends Dr. Murphy down in Sligo for treatment. Dr. Murphy in Letterkenny once a month, and my father attends there also, which has been the case for a while. Thank you. So yours is the same experiences that we heard in the first hour of the show. Looks like we are going to hear the usual positive spin on another weekend when Letterkenny was overwhelmed once again with thousands and thousands that had zero interest in watching a single stage of the rally. Public urination and defecation, littering, pollution, public intoxication, verbal abuse to locals and Gardaí. Well, the establishment profits greatly pay for the cleanup. They usually, it's only a few days nonsense. It's not good enough. That comes in from Mick. And look, it's like, really, if you live around Croke Park or the Aviva Stadium or the Three Arena for that matter, but particularly Croke Park because it's more residential, you are going to get people that are not directly affected by it that think it's great to have this facility and it's great and the residents should be more forgiving of and allow more events and so on and so forth. But obviously if you are directly affected by it, if your street is closed, if people are going into your garden and having a wee, you're going to be very much against it. And it's the same up here. Obviously, there are going to be people that are going to be negatively impacted by an event of such a scale. It does happen elsewhere. I'm sure Electric Picnic and all manner of events. But it's the balance between the benefits versus the negativities. I'm not sure where that balance lies, but Morning, Greg. I just want to say that I noticed a massive difference this year in the way the town dealt with the rally. The large presence of Gardaí on the road everywhere around Letterkenny, not just in Letterkenny, from driving around the town, seeing car parks closed to keep the bulk of the souped up cars in one area of the town. Definitely want to praise the organisers for a very well organised event. I'd say there was plenty of money pumped into the area, says that listener. No, Greg, you hit the nail on the head about the four lanes for emergency services, the Cullion Road being used. That's them admitting that the road is not suitable for emergency services. By doing that at the weekend time, they sorted it out. It is my gut takeaway feeling, I have to say. Greg, it's a rare state of affairs when one judge will sentence Enoch Burke to jail for standing up for his rights and another will give a pardon for assault and battery on an innocent girl. Well, he never got a pardon. He got a fully suspended sentence, which, I mean, if he does anything wrong in the next 3 years, he is sent straight to jail. Enoch Burke is a difficult situation because Enoch Burke, and that case did come to mind, by the way, so please don't think I'm disregarding or disrespecting your text. Enoch Burke really ultimately is not complying with the court order, and we can argue back and forth and everyone might have different opinions as to how we arrived at this point, but Enoch Burke still wants to be able to go to that school and he still wants to be able to stand outside that school, and he will not purge he will not give a commitment to not go back to that school, which means he's in breach of that court order, and that's why he's in jail. So he could literally walk out this morning. As I say, we could argue back and forward as to the rights and wrongs of him not being able to go up and stand outside of that school or whatever it might be. But at the moment, he wants to still be able to go when school's on to Wilson's school. It is Wilson's, isn't it? The court prohibits that. He refuses to say he won't, and therefore is still in jail. And this is where we're at now. But I do take the point. Judge needs to be retrained and put to task for making an awful attack on a human being even worse than it was. This judge has previous in relation to this. He did deliver a verdict. And again, it was in relation to someone who was in the army and didn't want to harm their career. But reading on, too many victims in court are treated like perpetrators. And when found innocent, see no justice as the real perps receive no consequences for their actions. Just like this person who happens to be a soldier supposedly protecting Ireland. Hi, Greg. Welcome back. I was off on Friday. That's right. I took Friday off to go and see the Pink concert. Regarding inflation and housing, would you please see if you could get someone onto your show to explain the possible effects of the move away from the use of the US dollar and the euro by these countries joining BRICS? This will effectively reduce the value of our economy. I'm not sure they favour the euro either. I didn't look extensively into that, but I'm not sure the euro is their go-to alternative to the US dollar. But it's an interesting point and certainly something on a personal level I'd be interested in digging into a little bit deeper. Lottie Ryan, this person doesn't think they're a great broadcaster and says the only reason she's near that job is because of her father, nepotism at its best. I wouldn't say that, but just as a listener, because I know I'm on the radio and I know, you know, no one likes criticism. I don't really mind it myself. But anyway, it's just if you listen to a lot of the likes of the 2FM, it's just they constantly call each other lads. You know, I was listening a bit to the Breakfast Show and it's lads, lads, lads and all this kind of stuff. And there's a lot of these sort of, you know, mid-Atlantic accents of all the presenters. I find it hard to distinguish against them. And the rural voice of Ireland was represented by the two Johnnies, which is, and people may be fans of them, but for me, that's not, you know, necessarily what rural Ireland is. Give Donegal Daddy a show. You know, why don't you stick him up there? He'd do a great job in there, and he would be, a popular person from outside of Dublin that represents us, if you want to go down that route. That's certainly what I would do. Or there are others. There are other candidates. But it's just, it all sounds the same to me. And everything is amazing. And that song was amazing. And Pink was amazing. And, you know, a bit of honesty. Right, okay. Let us see. We're going to take a break. We've got guests joining us in studio now. Coming up after 11, Brendan Devaney is going to be in studio talking about how I was right in picking Derry to win at the weekend, and he was wrong. Now, we'll not say that, but we do have a bit of business to sort out, so we'll do that. But really, he's coming in to look forward to the podcast. And also then, hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll have the would have the winners of the Donegal International Rally in studio with us as well. Okay, you're welcome back to the programme. We have three guests in studio with us, and they're all associated with the Clochaneely Junior Band. Gerry O'Donnell, Chair. Good morning, Gerry. Thanks very much for calling in.
Good morning, Greg.
We also have two band members, Ellie and McFadden. Hi, Ellie.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And Enya McMurrahu, is it?
Yeah.
How are you
Hello.
Getting on?
I'm good, yeah.
I'm going to have to tilt my head there because I've got the screen in front of me. No, she's fine. She's coming across loud and clear. Right. Exciting times, Gerry. Tell us what's coming up.
Exciting times, surely. Next Sunday night, 12 o'clock, we're going on a bus and we're heading for Dublin and we're heading for Paris. And the band is going to be playing in Disneyland next Wednesday.
So how did we get to this point then?
We started off before the COVID. We were thinking about it. Yeah. Next thing, the COVID went up on the air. So it took us a couple of years to get the band back together again, get the numbers up on the band. And we kicked off again then. Last October, we started putting the plan in action, so we have everything sorted now, so we're ready for the road.
So how do you get invited to this? I mean, is it an application process or what's going on?
An application process, you have to put videos or send them over and accept it then. It took a long process now to get a couple of months to get everything together.
And then lots of people from all over the world, I presume, are submitting videos. Then there's a selection process?
A selection process then. So we have our band now. It's all Disney music they play for the occasion. So we've submitted that and we're very lucky now. We got accepted. And we had to rally then and get money together, get everything up and going. And so there's 50 of us going all in between the young ones and committee members and a few parents as well.
All right. Amongst the two of them, of course, Ellie and McFadden. Amongst the 50 and two of them in. Ellie Ann, how exciting is this? Please.
Oh my God, it's so exciting. It's like actually kind of like a dream, you know, just like the Disney.
And what do you play in the band?
In the band I play the Glock and the accordion, but especially for Disney I was put on the Glock, so I'm playing the Glock in Disneyland.
And how difficult is it to get the music down? Because obviously, you know, you're going for the Disney classics. I'm not sure you'd ordinarily play them as part of the band, right? So you're going to have to put them together, practice, have them perfect. Is it more difficult to play this type of music?
See, I don't know, because like you grew up watching all the Disney films, so you're already like used to the songs.
The tones, the notes are in the back of the head
and
somewhere.
Thanks to Con, especially, because he just does the playlists, and so we just have to learn them then.
Right, okay. And Enya, what do you do in the band?
I play the button accordion.
Right. And how long have you been doing that?
Probably around 4 years now.
And did you ever think that you would be playing the button accordion in Disneyland?
No, I never would have imagined that, no.
And yours is quite, I always think it amazing, you know, the dexterity that's required to play your instrument. Are any of these songs particularly difficult for you, or you can take them in your stride?
No, as Ellie Ann said, that we had them when we were younger and all that stuff, you're used to hearing them, but no, they're quite easy, yeah.
And Ellie Ann, it's not all work, is it? Hopefully.
Sorry?
It's not all work. Like, you'll be able to enjoy yourself.
It's a bit of crack, honestly.
Yeah, but when you're over there.
Oh, no, definitely. It's only so we're going to be marching for 20 minutes and then with a few stops. And then apart from that, we'll be like around the park, around Paris. Just a bit of crack, really.
And what are you particularly looking forward to? Obviously, the performance, right? Okay,
yeah.
So I'm not going to put you in a position there. But anything else that you're looking forward to?
Well, obviously, the parade. It's like a dream, as I said. But you know, going around Paris, seeing the Eiffel Tower, seeing the theme parks, all that stuff.
Fantastic. What about you, Enya? Same question. What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to marching the band and going to see the castle and going around the park and Paris and all that stuff. It'll be a really good crack.
It's going to be brilliant, isn't it? And the songs, do you sort of play a song and then stop and start the other, or are you doing them as a melody, or what's the plan?
Well, we have we marching. We have a whole entire program, and then we'll march and stop. Yeah.
So, Beauty and the Beast, Part of This World, The Lion King, Under the Sea. there's an awful lot of practice has gone into these, I presume, Eliane. I know you talked about having the songs and the knowledge and what have you, right? But when you get a group of people together, it takes time.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. We started, I think it was October, or like, it was the start of the year anyway, and that's really been one of our main missions, along with the FLA, obviously. Just taking every practice, going over them and learning the tunes, especially this week anyway, like lead up, you know, have long, hard practices.
Con's the music teacher, Con McFadden. And yeah, what's he like?
Oh, he's just absolutely amazing.
Is he really?
He's,
you can tell the truth.
He's unbelievable.
He's not a bit of a
pain. He's class.
I mean, he goes on a lot, doesn't he? No. Jerry, you know, like it for you know, for 20 minutes, and it's the 20 minutes of a lifetime. So much effort from these young people and those that work with them to make it happen. I mean, it's really quite remarkable, isn't it?
How much they worked on it? Even this weekend alone, like, well, we had a big practice there on Thursday evening, like, and then Saturday, then 10 o'clock to 2 on Saturday, and 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock, then on a Sunday, like, and they gave it their all. I'd say PCC marching, they had the. They know the length of the march out there, so they were trying to get it perfect so that every song, and they'd end up, whenever the march ends, they'd end up then.
And this is part of a parade with other performers
performances. One of the big parades that's on every day. Like,
once even that, to be part of that, it's amazing.
Part of that, like, and getting all our gear out there. And that's, no, we have to, a big thank you to our local contractor, Kevin Kearney. He's taking all the gear out in his van, like, out to Paris for us, so we don't have to worry about that.
Well,
we'll pack that away Sunday afternoon.
And generally, people have had to help. How did you get the money together? Because I'm presuming there's a big expense to this.
Big expense, I would say, all, and it's be around about 60,000. It's going to cost us a couple of days. Like, so the children, they paid so much towards it, and then we do our weekly lotto draw. We got a wee bit of a grant then from our local county councillors, helped to get us that for the DFI grant. And then we got a grant then from...
Who are you? Do you know the councillors off the top of your head?
Michael Collum, John Hamish O'Farrey, and Michael McLafferty.
Just
the
give
three.
Them a mention.
Give them a wee mention there.
And if there's any businesses you want to mention, please don't worry about mentioning them or what have you. I know you've already mentioned one, but because, you know, we are of all of the one community.
One community, and a great, like, James Anthony McGinley from McGinley Buses, like, he's sponsored all jackets there for us there now, like,
nice.
You know, it's... brilliant of him, like, we never thought he'd. But I asked him and he said, no problem at all. He said, you order up the jackets. What you call it? CM Embroidery from Crawley there. They done the jackets for us. They have all t-shirts, different t-shirts now, different colour t-shirts for every day we were out there in Paris. They were flat out this last couple of weeks getting everything ready for us. And it was a big undertaking.
Fantastic. And so are you happy with the outfits, Eliane?
Yeah, you know, they're colourful, so they're not just plain.
Good. Yeah, well, you're going to Paris, Disneyland Paris. You can't, you know, you have to large it up a bit. And are you happy enough too?
Yeah, very happy. They're great.
All right. Do you know what's missing from this room, which I think is really quite strange? Your musical instruments. You know, it's lovely to talk to you and all, but, you know, you could have banged out a tune for us.
Yeah, we were on about that the way out. Actually, we're just singing the songs.
Yeah, we were.
You could sing a wee song for you, sure.
Yeah.
I'm only kidding.
Eliane, that's not fair.
I know, I'm sorry.
Anya, did you actually want to sing and now she's ruined it?
Well.
We're not. No, listen, come here. You save your voices for the and your performance. So when are you heading out, Anya?
We're heading out Sunday night.
Wow. So exciting. And is it ferry, is it? Or is it ferrying out or flying out?
We're flying from Dublin. We're lucky enough it's Ryanair, so hopefully everything will be in time.
I wasn't even going to say it.
We're very lucky it's Ryanair out and in. So
fingers crossed. All right, brilliant. Listen, it's obviously a proud day for the Clonmacnoise Junior Band, but it's proud for all of us going out there representing Donegal. Anything I've missed that you want to mention, girls or Jerry?
Yeah, well, I would like to thank the committee behind the scenes, like, it's the hard work behind the scenes, the music teachers, Con and Karen, they worked so hard.
Like, dreams come true, actually.
They have, between the songs, them. Putting everything together, like, and especially our treasurer, Laura Barrett, like, she's done some amount of work behind the scenes, to paperwork and getting everything up and going and made sure all the boxes were ticked for it, you know, so, you know, it's just everybody involved.
Brilliant. Well done. Girls, have a fantastic time. And you all get on really well, so it'll be lots of fun doing it with your friends as well, I'm sure. Yeah. And Ellie-Anne McFadden, thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you very much.
Enya McMorrow.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Fair play to you. And last but not least, of course, Jerry O'Donnell and also Con McFadden, music teacher, called up. And there's another lady out there.
That's Karen. That's our drill teacher.
Drill teacher. So she's the one that makes sure, you know, it's everything's in order and one, two, three.
Sure we get to the places.
And you've timed out the distance and everything, I take it, have you?
She has, yeah.
Down to a T.
Yeah, she's been doing her work.
Brilliant stuff. Excellent. Listen, fantastic. Enjoy the trip. Make some fantastic memories. Who say you might end up going viral if someone videos it and pops it up on TikTok or what have you. But it's going to be brilliant, so enjoy it. Jerry O'Donnell, Chair, thanks so much of the Clonhilly Junior Band. Thanks so much for calling
in. Thank you very much, Greg.
And also Ellie-Anne McFadden and Enya McMorrow, who've done your family proud today as well, of course. Brilliant speakers. We wish you all the very best and have a fantastic time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Paul, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good, and good to talk to you again. We were speaking earlier on over the level of services available for people living with MS, and as we've spoken to you in the past, you are a person with MS. What did you hear in that conversation, and what do you think we need to add to it, Paul?
Yeah, well, I'm totally obviously support the entire aspect of gaining more neurologists in Donegal. It's a situation that we often seem to come up with, choosing such a beautiful place to live, yet suffering in many, many aspects of quality of medical, if you like, support given to each of us. I mean, it was actually an interesting fact there. I was just looking at comparable European countries, and Scotland has apparently over 70 neurologists covering them, and we have 24, and they're very comparable populations. So, yeah, I find it quite ironic that we're down here at Yarn, Portnow Beach, pushing for accessibility to beaches and sand for people in chairs, and yet we seem to be suffering more and more regarding accessibility to our basic roads.
And obviously, you know, everyone is affected differently by the condition. But in terms of, you know, how you get to an appointment, be it in Letterkenny or if you have to travel to Sligo or in fact just generally having the freedom to move around, the motorised transport grant was an important part of that. And I think you also mentioned that in your contact to us, Paul. That's not there anymore. What are the implications or consequences of that?
Well, yes, it's huge. I mean, a lot of people, depending, as you said, on the level of disability, may rely on their what we would call a wheelchair accessible vehicle for just basically to get out of the house and see people. And I, like myself, our vehicle's getting older and older, and you're thinking, is there any support networks in place? That's what that allowed the community, the disabled community, to have that support, if you like. And that was suspended over 10 years ago, I believe. And there seems to be, you know, I've actually contacted the Disability Ombudsman regarding this, and obviously they're very sympathetic and everything else, but nothing essentially has been done with regarding it.
Yeah,
so not only short neurologists, we seem we've no transport either.
And I spoke to a very nice gentleman on a regular occasions, and just at the moment his name escapes me and I don't want to misidentify him, but who would regularly raise this issue almost around budget time and point to the fact that this grant was suspended and nothing ever was put in to replace it. Because, you know, there is a certain amount of vans, and there's a particular type of van that often has been adapted and employed. They're coming to the end of their life. It's very expensive then to adapt another vehicle. It's quite complicated, isn't it, Paul? And this grant was the difference between people having that freedom to move around and not. Crazy that this grant's been dormant for so long. We're supposed to be loaded.
It's exactly so we keep getting told. But I don't know. I think I tend to try and handle a lot of the stress in life with humour. And I was just thinking I might buy myself a tractor with a link box. That might be an easier way to get around the county. These black grants that keep being promised but never quite.
Well, do you know what, Paul? Paul, just to continue with that humour, if you put your mind to it, I've no doubt you probably bloody would if you decided that's what you were going to do, such is your determination.
Yes, certainly.
And I think, too, when you've got the Ombudsman sort of backing you know, your frustration on this. And in fact, we might contact the Ombudsman's office on this specifically as well to see if we can move it along. You know, when the Ombudsman themselves, who advocates for people with disabilities, is also frustrated, it just shows how desperate the situation is, Paul.
Totally. Couldn't agree more, as I say. And basically, every time you contact senior politicians or in Dublin, it's the same thing, that the same feedback you get, that the whole thing has been under consideration and a working group has been established. It's just blah, blah, blah. I've never known a working group to last longer than 10 years. Maybe that's normal. Possibly it is in Dublin. But certainly not. It's certainly not working to people's advantage here in Donegal.
Yeah, okay. Well, Paul, we're going to make contact with the department in question. And I just hope that this is one of those things that no one's actually aware of. Do you know what I mean? Do you know how you that maybe this is one of those initiatives that's fallen through the gaps and there's no one advocating or they haven't been reminded about it? You know, we've got good relationships with a lot of the ministers now at this point, I hope. And also we'll contact the Ombudsman and see if we can actually push this on. I think this is something maybe we could have a bit of influence on, Paul. And we have this conversation with you to lean on as well. I'm not promising anything, as you understand, but, you know, we're not talking big money. I found a figure on this not so long ago, and I can't remember what it was. And again, I don't want to misquote stuff, but we're not talking big money here.
I believe it was 10 million, actually, was quoted.
Oh, right, 10 million. Okay, sorry, I missed that.
I believe the figure was 10 million.
Well, there you go.
Because I spoke to certain individuals, and they said that the money had been ring-fenced.
Yeah.
That 10 million had been identified and ring-fenced for that purpose, but it's never quite reached fruition, if you like.
Yeah, too, indeed. And also in the modified cars, I've seen insurance companies in the past, when those cars are sold between people who knew them, insurance companies actually wanting the receipts for the modification being done. So if you are moderating one or you have, make sure you have the receipts, because insurance companies can be quite funny on that if you don't. All right, Paul, listen, thanks as always. How's everything generally speaking with you, Paul?
Very good, very good. Always look positively on whatever lot we're given in life and crack on with it. That's what I say. So.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, always smiling. People around me are great, so that's all you need.
Great stuff, Paul. Lovely to speak to you again, and thank you very much for helping us highlight that. Right, now, a number of Irish women are reporting unplanned pregnancy after being prescribed the diabetes and weight loss drug Ozempic. Numerous social media posts discuss unplanned pregnancies while on Ozempic and similar drugs that can spur significant weight loss by curbing appetite and slowing the digestive process. Professor Alex Maras is Clinical Professor of Medicine at Ulster University and is with us now. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
So are we still exploring this possibility, or do you believe there is some sort of medical explanation for it?
I think it's a pretty straightforward medical explanation in that we've known for many years that obesity is associated either with infertility or with irregular periods. So what semaglutide does, which is a medication that you are referring to, is that it causes significant weight loss. And when people with obesity and women with obesity lose weight, their periods can start at any point in time, sometimes unexpectedly. And it is for this reason, together with the fact that they are becoming more fertile, that we are now seeing more pregnancies in those women.
The one thing I couldn't see in the coverage I was able to glance over was any reference to this negating the effects of birth control. It doesn't do that.
So the semaglutide specifically that you are referring to has not been linked with any problems with the absorption of the oral contraceptive pill. So we don't think that that is the case. We think that it is mostly the weight loss that's driving this increase in fertility.
Mm. So really, before these changes then, women were simply... If you have sex without taking a contraception, there must be some recognition that you're likely to get pregnant. And then for this to turn into unplanned pregnancies is what catches me out a little bit.
Yeah, so what I mean by that is that the effect of the oral contraceptive pill is not affected, but what is common in these women is that because they have tried in the past to get pregnant or because they don't have periods normally, they were not perhaps taking contraception too seriously because it wasn't an issue. But now this can suddenly, the increased fertility and the regularity of the periods that can come back at any point in time can catch them off guard. So that's right, yes.
Yeah, and of course this too also really, perhaps, and it's perhaps more important than the story generally speaking, highlights that the impacts obesity can have on reproduction and what have you.
Absolutely right, and it can present in two ways. One of the ways that it can present in women with the polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is quite common. Other women don't have that but still don't have periods, and it can also affect men in the same way.
Mm. Do you think we'll ever come to a point, given the disease that is obesity, do you think we'll ever come to the point whereby Ozempic or other similar drugs will be routinely prescribed for people with weight loss? I mean, we know it happened in the past, and then we know there was a tightening up, certainly in the Republic of Ireland, in prescribing it only to people with diabetes. But do you see it becoming more of a norm in dealing with obesity?
Exactly right. So there's two things that we need to be doing. Number one, we need to be trying to prevent the disease of obesity with public health measures. But for those people who already have the disease and they have already tried and explored a number of non-medical avenues to deal with it, it is really important that we offer treatment in the same way that we offer treatment for high blood pressure, high cholesterol. What will happen over the next year or so is that the number of these medications that we will be able to prescribe in the Republic will increase, and hopefully that will penetrate more the public healthcare services.
Yeah, and at the moment, is it not prescribed routinely because of the supply? Is it retaining the supply for people with diabetes, or is it a case that we haven't agreed that this should be sort of a mainstay treatment for obesity?
Yeah, that's a good point. So Ozempic, which is what you were referring to, is only licensed, strictly licensed for the treatment of type 2 diabetes. It is not licensed for the treatment of obesity. Understand that it is being used for the treatment of obesity as an off-license medication. Saxenda, on the other hand, which is liraglutide, is fully licensed for the treatment of obesity, but only for a small number of people who have obesity together with what we call pre-diabetes and are at high risk for cardiovascular disease. In the next 12 months, we hope that we're going to get other medications to treat obesity that are called Wegovy, that's semaglutide at a higher dose, and Mounjaro, which is tirzepatide. So the future for obesity medications is looking really, really bright.
And finally, I think that's really important, Professor, because what is not measured really in this whole conversation is the amount of people that will try and source this medicine through other means and can find themselves, you know, and they shouldn't, never buy it off the internet or what have you. But you know, until such time as it becomes more broadly available, we're going to see more of that, unfortunately, I think.
That is sadly the case, and it just demonstrates that if you don't provide something through the safe channels that it ought to be provided through, and certainly through the public healthcare system, because people have a need and there is a large unmet need, we'll sadly go to and explore other avenues. Some of them may not be as safe.
Thanks for all of your time. Have a wonderful day. Take care. That was Professor Alex Maras. He's clinical professor of medicine at Ulster University. So speaking off the back of that, the drug, the use of Ozempic. It's a weight loss drug, of course. But it's not really a weight loss drug. It is a weight loss drug, but it's for the treatment of diabetes. It's not licensed for weight loss, but it's improving women's fertility and kickstarting ovulation in the obese and overweight. And apparently on social media, lots of people are reporting that they have become pregnant. Women, that is. Gregory, the queues from the Manor roundabout into town at the weekend proved we need a ring road around Letterkenny. Can you get the spanking new councillors on to explain, without blaming the roads authority, why they're not going to bother doing it? Well, you see, like, in truth, it's not up to the councillors. It's not even up to the council, really. It's Transport Infrastructure Ireland. And I know when you start sort of saying whose fault it is, it's like, oh, well, why did we vote for this person or that person? the one thing the councillors certainly can do is continue to lobby for something, because I have a particular issue with the emergency services access. Hi, Greg. Had a scan appointment last week in Letterkenny University Hospital. No scan done. Machine broken. Waited on request from staff in a cubicle, undressed for an hour and 15 minutes to be informed that an engineer had come from Dublin or Belfast to fix it. An engineer had to come from Dublin or Belfast to fix it. Pathetic or what? Very disappointing for you. And I think sometimes, too, depends on the individual. You know, it takes a lot of nervous energy heading to one of these appointments because you never know what's going to happen, is it? And then for it to be cancelled and to be put back and so on and so forth. Greg, did you put on After Sun? Might help. Sementsu have happened. Happened to me. I got sunburnt. Not bad, but bet it was out of date. Yes, it was. Look, I'm taking full responsibility for this. And, you know, at least it was just me, because I went on holidays with Lee and Aaron a few years ago and I beat myself up about it. I got sunblock. I didn't realise it went out of date or whatever. It was factor 50 and we were all lying out and the legs got burnt off them. And it's really serious, actually, because it is skin damage and it's the visual representation of skin damage. So that worried me. I should have learnt my lesson. I didn't, but at least in this case, it's just me that has the big tomato-y red head. But thanks very much for your advice. Yeah, I'm using After Sun left, right and centre. God help whoever's using these headphones after me. John doesn't. He uses his own. But David James doesn't have a hair out of place, but he's going to have a sticky old head of hair when he's finished with these headphones. I'm only joking. I'll wipe them down. Hi, Greg. In relation to the rally, could you please give a mention to the kind farmer on Saturday's Loch Keel stage outside Kilmacrenan? He opened up his field for parking and stood at the entrance all day, directing cars in and out, all the while being friendly and good-humoured. I didn't get his name, but hopefully someone will know who he is and pass on many thanks. Well done to you, very friendly farmer. It's appreciated. I'm disgusted about the young girl who was assaulted and the soldier that got a 3-year suspended sentence. Poor Enoch Burke is in jail for standing up for his beliefs. It seems we throw people in jail for right, not wrong these days. I referenced that a little earlier on. Hi, Greg. My partner and myself are frequent travellers. We always use good quality sunscreen. This one time we bought a sunscreen from a particular store. We burnt to a crisp, never used it again, so it might depend on the make you used. Maybe, possibly. I'll tell you what happened, though. You see, we went out fishing and went out early and it was overcast. And I should know better than this. And then we were out for like 6 or 7 hours. Brutal days fishing, by the way. Very, very enjoyable, but not much happening. Like I was in a hoodie and I was in trousers and socks and shoes and long sleeves. It was quite chilly out in the sea. And as I say, I've been around the sea all of my life. I've spent much of my life in and around the sea, but just got caught out. Morning, Greg. One venue in Letterkenny was charging €25 per head on Sunday night to enter. Saturday night was a lot more. Another rip-off over the rally. I mean, like, I was going out 30 years ago and it was a fiver or tenner to get into places. I don't know. And it seems like an awful lot in this day and age. Presumably, hopefully, there was loads of staff on. There was loads of security and people felt well-serviced and safe in these venues. I don't know what to say to that. That's how much it costs to go and see stuff. People were being charged £20 to park in a car park overnight. People were being charged, you know, what they see as too much money to go and see some of the events around it. I went into the Hard Rock Cafe in Dublin. I went into the Hard Rock Cafe in Dublin just for an experience. And I was ordered a chicken burger and it was €32 a chicken burger. I didn't order it. I was on the brink of ordering it. And Aisling got a steak. And listen, this steak wouldn't be the size of your hand, and a few spuds, and that was €32. Sorry, mine was 26 and that was 32. And then a pint, I had one pint, was $8.75. I was expecting to come out in a gold goblet or something or other. The price of things has gone crazy. And then you come up here and all of a sudden you pay, you know, €5.50 or €6 for a pint. It doesn't feel so bad. But the price of everything seems to have just gone through the roof.